thing that patients must do is to resume all physical activity, including the most vigorous. This means overcoming the fear of bending, lifting, jogging, playing tennis, or any other sport, and 100 other common physical things. It means unlearning all the nonsense about the correct way you are supposed to bend, lift, sit, stand, lie in bed, which swimming strokes are good and bad, what kind of chair or mattress you must use, what shoes or corset or brace you must wear, and many other bits of medical mythology. The various health disciplines interested in the back have succeeded in creating an army of the partially disabled in this country with their medieval concepts of structural damage and injury as the basis of back pain. Though it is often difficult, every patient has to work through his or her fear and return to full, normal physical activity. One must do this not simply for the sake of becoming a normal human being again, though that's a good enough reason, physically and psychologically by itself. One must do this to liberate oneself from the fear of physical activity, which is often more effective than pain in keeping one's mind focused on the body. That is the purpose of TMS, to keep the mind from attending to emotional things. As Snoopy, that great contemporary philosopher, once said, "There's nothing like a little physical pain to keep your mind off your emotional problems." I now believe that the physical restrictions imposed by TMS are much more important than the pain, thus making it imperative that the patient gradually overcome them. If patients cannot do this, they are doomed to have recurrences of pain. It should be noted parenthetically that the advice to resume normal physical activity, including the most vigorous, has been given to a very large number of patients over the past 27 years. I cannot recall one person who has subsequently said that this advice caused him or her to have further back trouble. I suggest to patients that they begin the process of resuming physical activity when they experience a significant reduction in pain and when they are feeling confident about the diagnosis. To start prematurely only means that they will probably induce pain, frighten themselves, and retard the recovery process. Patients are usually conditioned to expect pain with physical activity, and so must not challenge the established programmed patterns until they have developed a fair degree of confidence in the diagnosis. One of my patients, an attorney in his mid-30s, had an interesting experience in this regard. He went through the program uneventfully, and in a few weeks was free of pain and doing everything except one thing. He was afraid to run. He explained to me later that it had been drummed into his head for so many years that running was bad for your back that he simply couldn't get up the courage to try, though he could do many things more strenuous than running. After almost a year, he decided that this was silly, and he was going to run. He did, and his pain returned. Now he was at a crossroads. Should he continue to run or back off? He called for my advice, but unfortunately I was on vacation, and he had to make his own decision. Wisely, he decided to bullet through. He continued to run, and he continued to hurt. Then one night, he was awakened from sleep with a very sharp pain in the upper back, but his low back pain was gone. Knowing that TMS often moves to different places during the process of recovery, he decided that he had probably won, and he had. Within a couple of days, the upper back pain was gone too, and he has not had a recurrence of either upper or lower back pain since that time. One has to confront TMS, fight it, or the symptoms will continue. Losing one's fear and resuming normal physical activity is possibly the most important part of the therapeutic process. Another essential for full recovery is that all forms of physical treatment or therapy must be abandoned. It is instructive to consider that I did not stop prescribing physical therapy until 12 or 13 years after I began to make the diagnosis. It took that long for me to fully break with all the old traditions in which I had been schooled. Conceptually, prescribing physical therapy contradicts what we have found to be the only rational way to treat the problem. That is, by teaching and through education, invalidating the process where it begins, in the mind. Further, it had become obvious that some patients had put all their confidence in the physical therapy and were having placebo cures, which meant that sooner or later they would be in pain again. The principle is that one must renounce any structural explanation either for the pain or its cure, or the symptoms will continue. Manipulation, heat, massage, exercise, and acupuncture all presuppose a physical disorder that can be treated by some physical means. Unless that whole concept is repudiated, the pain and other symptoms continue. Patients are usually shocked when it is suggested that they stop the exercises and stretching they have been taught to do for their backs. But it is essential in order to establish firmly in the mind what is important. Exercise for the sake of good health is, of course, something else, and it is strongly encouraged. Another important strategy, but one which must not become a ritual, is a review of daily reminders. Patients are given a list of 12 key thoughts, and it is suggested that at least once a day they set aside 15 minutes or so when they can relax and quietly review them. 1. The pain is due to TMS, not to a structural abnormality. 2. The direct reason for the pain is mild oxygen deprivation. 3. TMS is a harmless condition caused by my repressed emotions. 4. The principal emotion is my repressed anger. 5. TMS exists only to distract my attention from the emotions. 6. Since my back is basically normal, there is nothing to fear. 7. Therefore, physical activity is not dangerous. 8. And I must resume all